is up, and welcome to Off the Books, where we're surfing the uncharted waters of accounting, of finance, and wherever else those waves take us. Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva, the number one platform for financial reporting, risk, and compliance. If you can rattle off a favorite Excel formula or have a nickname for your calculator, Workiva is right up your alley. I'm Drew Dubner, and I am your host. I am not an accountant, but I like asking questions of people who are, so finance professionals can do their jobs better. And boy, oh boy, I'm stoked about this one. Today, we are joined by the legendary Mark Butler and the maybe less legendary, maybe legendary in his own mind, Steve Soder. Steve, would you mind telling the fine folks at home who you are?
Yep, the non-legendary Steve Soder here. Happy to join you today, Drew. I am an accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. I'm very much looking forward to debiting some comprehension today as we talk about PPP.
Beautiful. And Mark?
I'm Mark Butler. I'm suddenly legendary, but I am the Director of Thought Leadership and Product Marketing at Intelligize. I think that's a fancy way of saying that I'm responsible for a whole lot of training and development around trending topics and products that are used to research them.
I think you undersell yourselves. Actually, I'm going to retract all my statements before. You're both legendary. And today we're talking about a very legendary topic. We're talking about the Paycheck Protection Program, often referred to as the PPP, and much less frequently referred to as the triple P, the P cubed, or 3DPD. Unless you have completely unplugged since March or so, you have likely heard of this. In a nutshell, the PPP is a loan administered by the Small Business Administration that helps or helped businesses keep their workforce employed during the coronavirus crisis that we're all experiencing. The thing is, whenever the government or anyone really hands businesses a big old stack of cash, the spidey senses of accountants perk up, which brings us to our conversation today with the esteemed Mark Butler. So, Mark, what is the PPP? I started to describe it here. I did my best to stumble through it, but what else is important to know here?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, Drew. So PPP is the Paycheck Protection Program. I mean, it is a loan that was designed to provide an incentive for small businesses to keep their workers on the payroll in the face of the current pandemic and its tumultuous impact on the economy. It originated from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, Economic Security, or CARES Act, with the intent to provide these small businesses with about 8 weeks of cash flow assistance through 100% federally guaranteed loans. But with that said, PPP has, it's almost morphed into something of a Pandora's box. The whole thing started off as a lifeline, and it has evolved into a multifaceted risk factor. There's been a flurry of activity, uncertain circumstances that triggered a flood of ongoing negative media coverage, with a growing number of reporting issuers still wondering if they may have inadvertently slipped into making false statements in their applications. Can you add any more drama to this evolving story? Yeah, pretty much so. It's already been done. Enter, and I hope this is okay to broach during the podcast, but enter strip clubs.
Absolutely.
They've taken up a temporary up front and center position among the companies bellying up and battling it out for funds.
Well, tell me a little bit more about those.
Strip clubs or the other stuff he was talking about?
The other stuff.
The moment that the program sort of was birthed and it was produced out to the public, you started seeing small businesses making the attempt to attain some of those loan funds. But very rapidly, you started seeing some very high profile organizations, publicly traded companies. I think that galvanized a lot of other smaller businesses. A strip club could qualify as a small business to sort of forcefully enter into the picture and also seek out those same funds. It created another lens of challenges for regulators or administrators of the funds. Some people don't really like that type of business. I think I'm saying that diplomatically enough. But it just adds yet another layer of dramatic circumstances wrapped up in that triple P that we're talking about.
Mark, how big is this? It seems like this thing's a monster, but I'm trying to wrap my head around what's all contained in this thing money-wise.
So it is big for this type of loan program. It came upon us pretty quickly, which is also surprising. But in terms of how big it is, we're looking at ballpark $660 billion relief program with discussions for further expansions. I think when you you're looking at this and identifying it as something big, A, the price tag makes it big. It is a big deal. It is a large endeavor, but we are suddenly faced with so many risk factors revolving around this program. It adds to the overall size and complexity of the program itself. So both together make this a very big deal.
So I did a little bit of research myself. Actually, incidentally, my parents run a small business and they actually received PPP proceeds and had reached out to me, their friendly neighborhood accountant, in terms of, you know, hey, what do we do with this thing and how do the debits and credits work? I did a little bit of work, but I'm assuming their scenario was so much more easy than others. What can you tell us about what's relevant to accounting and finance folks here? Seems like there'd be a lot of nuance related to this and the accounting accompanying it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it eventually, what we're seeing on the side of publicly traded companies, so I mean, a different type of company, but company nonetheless, the funds were there, but there were immediate impacts to the balance sheet. It's essentially a debt. So in some cases, it is a forgiven loan. But what we're finding now, a lot of companies are falling into sort of a space where they have to repay the loan. The qualifications weren't entirely met. So that red flag, or I guess the red in terms of that being a debt, is winding up on a lot of balance sheets for a lot of publicly traded companies.
So Mark, my question for you here is, this all rolled out earlier this year. Why are we still talking about this? Why is this still a big deal? Is that because, you know, they're still tracking, they're still monitoring where this money's going?
It's a big deal primarily because of some of the negative news. The idea of the loan itself, I mean, it was perfect timing. There was an absolute need for it. But now there have been multiple about faces. Companies suddenly deciding, hey, we actually didn't need the money, or we may not have properly qualified for these funds from PPP. With that news and the advent of these events, you've got a lot of government agencies and regulators who are now stepping up to the plate and investigating on their own, trying to identify if there was an abuse of the program. I mean, the SEC is in the mix, the DOJ, the SBA, the Treasury Department. So that is why we're consistently right now seeing this in the news. But I think more importantly, what sort of leads to the news is that we're seeing an explosion in SEC filing and reporting around this event, how it is being addressed by corporations themselves. There are some best practices trickling out of some of the filings, how companies are positioning themselves around the consideration of the loan. Is this something we may want to just walk away from because we have other sources of funding and liquidity? Or can we get our arms around some of these new risk factors, the image and the reputation of the company, the conversation with shareholders, where on one hand you are trying to manage the value gap and paint the business in a very viable position, but on the flip side, you are receiving these funds. How does that narrative, how does that play out? What does it look like? What does it sound like? Specifically, that is what we're pulling out of the filings right now. Some of these, at a macro level, some of the very specific and unique stories on a company-by-company basis.
And speaking of stories, I got to tell a story on behalf of our sponsor here in this commercial. Be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. This episode of Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva. If there's one thing I've learned during COVID, it's the importance of smart home technology. Not only do I never wear shoes, I don't have to do cumbersome, manual, outdated garbage like turn on light switches. I can just yell at the robot speaker to do things for me. Turn on the light. Change the music. What's the weather tomorrow? Who was Grover Cleveland's vice president? All accessible by conversing with inanimate objects. The future is here, and the future is weird. While you can't yell at the robot speaker to do SOX compliance or file your 10K, at least not yet, the future is here, and that future, dear listener, is Workiva. Yes, Workiva, the preferred platform for SEC reporting, SOX compliance, internal audit, and so much mucho more. Customers trust Workiva's open, intelligent, and intuitive platform to connect data, documents, and teams. The results? Improved efficiency, greater transparency, and less risk. Yes, Workiva,
all of the future, and none of the yelling at robots. Check it out at workiva.com/podcast. That's workiva.com/podcast.
And we're back. Hey, Mark, one other thing I am curious about. Where do you and IntelliGize come in here? Who are you? Why are you so big and mighty to come in here to our podcast? I'm just kidding. Please give us the full scoop on what you all provide.
Sure. So we are in the compliance space. We really focus heavily on the disclosure patterns and the flow of what issuers are communicating, not just to the SEC, but to investors and the market. All aspects of it, not just the filings, but you know, we'll delve into earning call transcripts, corporate governance documents. If it starts appearing in transactional events, M&A is one area we took a peek at. We're seeing it starting to evolve. So not quite a story or a picture yet, but PPE is winding its way into M&A deal summaries. But in terms of what we're doing here with this story, it is for a trend like PPP, the triple P, it is about the words. That's what we're on the hunt for in IntelliGize. One word that comes to mind when talking about PPP is oops. The receipts for that are there. From the standpoint of the publicly reporting issuers out there, the filings are the receipts when it comes to this story. We're starting to see maneuvering and strategic positioning in certain areas inside of the periodic reports. We saw Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and Shake Shack make a very public PPP about face. And there is a growing crowd of issuers gently doing the same thing in their own reports.
So Mark, the examples that you brought up there with Shake Shack, those seem like more of a PR problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if those companies sure. that are seemingly doing okay are reaching out and saying, give me money, that seems like more of a PR problem than an actual accounting one. Am I incorrect about that? Or is there actually something more substantive there that I'm missing?
You're correct. It is a PR problem. It does not look good at all. But when you start seeing them discuss it in the filing, so if a company doesn't have to, if it's not material, it's not going to see the light of day in an SEC filing. But this has become a material event. Whenever you're dealing with a material event, it has sort of a cascading effect on the business. So in this case, yes, it's a PR challenge, but you're also going to have very difficult conversation with your shareholders and your investors. You're going to start going toe-to-toe and looking deep into the eyes of regulators who are suddenly investigating your business decisions and your business practices. It morphs into risk factor reporting, MD&A. It's going to start bleeding into extraordinary events, which are going to see the light of day in the form of an 8K.
So Mark, you alluded to a few things that you've seen in filings, but let's dig in a little bit deeper. Tell us, what are you seeing? What's interesting? What conclusions can we draw between what we're actually seeing in filings so far, and how is that evolving? Seems like things have shifted a little bit over the last several months.
Yeah, it's definitely been moving, and not to totally geek out on it, but it's actually really interesting what we're seeing in some of the SEC filings. Something you don't hear a lot of people say out there, but the filings are key with this topic in that they are right now offering the mea culpa. And we've started seeing four primary buckets of reporting approaches that are starting to show some consistency across industry. So in terms of those four buckets, I lifted some examples out to really give you sort of a clearer picture or some color commentary from the real world, what it sounds like. So for bucket number one, what we at IntelliGize are calling new guidance made a little more sense this time around. We're seeing a lot of issuers, they are seeing the challenge. So they are immediately pivoting towards the fact that new guidance has come out of the SBA that provided some transparency and additional clarity. And they are leaning into that. One example of reporting that we were able to sort of pull out was a company that stated the company received a loan of $773,000. Following the issuance of new guidance from the SBA, the company initiated the immediate repayment of the full amount of the loan to the bank. That is a consistent sort of position that we're starting to see a lot of issuers take. Bucket number two is the classic shrug moment. We actually didn't need it. Here we found an example from an issuer that stated, we promptly returned the funds as management determined that the loan was not necessary to support its ongoing operations. Bucket number three is what we at IntelliJ have been calling the feel-good bucket. It's giving it back to help others in need. We found a great example from a reporting company that stated, we returned all $10 million in proceeds from PPP in order to make those funds available to other borrowers that may be in greater need than our business. And the last bucket is bucket number four. And this is the, you know, it's really not our fault, but we're trying category. Guidance around eligibility was open to interpretation. We found one reporting company stating certification given with respect to the PPP loan does not contain any objective criteria and is subject to interpretation. The bad press is a consistent risk factor linked to PPP. One example there briefly is a company stated that they any receipt of a PPP loan may result in adverse publicity and damage to our reputation. And a review or audit by the SBA, or any other government entity or claims under the False Claims Act could harm our business results of operation and financial condition. And then whenever you talk about risk factors, when you have this kind of a conversation, a big risk factor, usually the next area that you want to take a peek into is going to be MD&A, because the two almost seem to go hand in hand in moments like these, addressing trends like this one. What's interesting about MD&A right now, it is more of a cautionary tale. Companies are not placing a tremendous amount of narrative in there when it comes to addressing PPP. But one example that sort of sums up this scenario is an issuer that stated, due to an abundance of caution on XYZ date, we returned the full amount of the loan since it became increasingly unclear whether or not public companies would be required to seek other sources of liquidity. So sorry about the SEC reading rainbow moment, but the filings really are starting to paint a clearer picture for us here.
Well, hey, let's be clear. This is a very safe space for SEC filings, geeking out, reading rainbow moments. So you've come to the right place, Mark. Oh, don't awesome. You worry about that.
When I was preparing for this conversation, I knew we were going to talk about loan repayment, and that might be the linchpin, what makes people, you know, donate the money to give it back to other companies, the four things that you rattled off there. Mm-hmm. What if the SBA does an about face and says, hey, we're going to waive these loans? You know, these are just good faith donations to you effectively. Is that a possibility? And what does that mean for companies?
This is an assumption on my part, but looking at, I think the fact that you have so much negative news around this loan, again, this should be a feel-good moment. I don't foresee the SBA coming back and saying, look, for those of you who got the loan, regardless of the situation or the missteps on your part, we're just going to forgive the whole thing. There is a need for these funds for a lot of, truly small businesses that are never going to see the light of day in an SEC filing. They don't report to the SEC. So those funds are, I think there is an interest, a growing interest to properly redirect a lot of those funds, not all of them, but a lot of those funds to these smaller businesses on, you know, USA Main Street.
Well, and I think it depends really on what the companies are doing with the funds. As I understand it, I think that if you can prove, or at least if you have sufficient support, that those funds went directly to keeping employees employed, then I think actually the loan is forgiven so long as you're able to demonstrate that. If not, then of course I think companies will need to repay it.
No, absolutely. There is a forgiveness caveat, and you're right. I mean, you have to meet certain criteria as part of that whole application process. The challenge is now all of a sudden you've got these regulatory bodies who are now investigating. Let's really truly see where this money went. There is a question mark hanging over your business headquarters because of this loan. Let's see the documentation. Let's follow the numbers to ensure that the funds were properly allocated within your business.
Well, I did notice my parents taking a very lavish vacation in some suspect timing. between when the proceeds came out, so I'll need to be sure and ask them about that.
I suppose I should refund that check that I got to Drew Dubner Incorporated.
Mark, just real quick, is there anything we are not seeing in filings that might be interesting here that maybe we would have expected to see?
Yeah, so what we're not really seeing, or at least not in a transparent fashion, is reporting about a company's qualifications for that PPP loan, or disclosure supporting the necessity for the loan to maintain their ongoing operations. There is not a lot of detail or a lot of color commentary when it comes to that specific chapter in the story for any given company right now. Since this loan is also a lifeline, it's worth noting that related reporting around the timing and extent of any going concern assessments and the financial effect of COVID-19 linked to the receipt of the loan are not really part of the broader filing narrative. Yes, businesses, everyone has been talking about the impact of COVID-19, the coronavirus, but when you start seeing the slice of reporting as it relates to PPP, you're not seeing a really compelling tie-in or very strong story that really effectively props up the true need for these funds by the businesses. So I think that's something that's really missing. And I think that's something that the SEC is probably going to start circling around in terms of their reviews of some of the reporting that we're seeing.
Well, and it would make sense because that seems part and parcel with just overall disclosure principles, I would call them, that, you know, SEC registrants are expected to make.
Exactly.
But Mark, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I can't imagine the government would give me some sort of money, some sort of financial backing without some sort of expectation in hand. So what are the strings attached here? I imagine the audit process is just going to be bonkers.
Yeah, so there are strings, and there are enough strings attached to this PPP scenario that it can start getting a little scary. And you're right, to really address this question, we've got to use the A word, and that A word is going to be audits. Audits, plural. You know, it's one of the most serious considerations now linked to receipt of a PPP loan. The Treasury Department announced that they will be auditing all PPP loans in excess of $2 million. And then they followed up by suggesting that companies will face criminal liability if audits show that they made false certifications. And that brings us to a lot of the commentary in those buckets. Companies are trying to really determine, are we in a safe zone, or did we inadvertently slip into that bucket of we may have made a false certification? Add to that, the DOJ entered into the fray, and they sent a grand jury subpoena to Wall Street banks as part of an investigation into abuse of the program. So if government agencies and regulators are now feeling that there is the possibility of abuse, this adds another chapter to the overall scary story. They suddenly become very aggressive. They put their teeth in and they're going in for the attack. And I know that sounds a little overly dramatic. I've always wanted to say this in context without making light of a situation, but the chickens have come home to roost when it comes to PPP. Was that scary enough?
I can add some like piano music, some minor key dun, 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 stuff behind it.
And Drew does have a phobia. Drew has a phobia of chickens, roosting chickens in particular. So
I don't like to dwell on that, Steve. And on the topic of chickens, like we just talked about, we're coming to the closing question of the day, where those chickens will come home to roost, those terrifying, terrifying chickens. So guys, our closing question of the day here, you know, we end the show on a fun note every day. What's on your work from home playlist? What have you been spinning? What's on the old Victrola?
Yeah, you know, I actually said it before the last time I think we were asked that question, and it has not changed. I am still listening to Mexipop by the Mariachis. It is one of the funnest, most interesting albums I've ever listened to. I highly recommend it to our listeners.
And Mark, please, I need some more tunes.
Yeah, so this one, it may not be tunes down your alley. I'm not sure, but I'm sort of a metal geek. So I have been going through all Iron Maiden albums from early 1980, and I'm working my way through slowly the late 2000s. In between, I've sort of rediscovered Jimi Hendrix. So again, sort of geeking out in a way on Filings and on Iron Maiden.
Mark, you're speaking my words.
If you were an SEC registrant, your stock would have just exploded through the roof. Well done. And let me say, from strip clubs to Reading Rainbow, we could cover the gamut here.
Well, there you go. I'm glad I could pitch in here.
Strip clubs, Reading Rainbow, Iron Maiden. I don't and think chicken. You could ask for anything more. That sounds like a pretty good weekend.
It sure does.
Boy, howdy. I'm Drew Dubner. This has been a really fun episode of Off the Books. Please subscribe, leave a review, or tell your buddies if you liked the show. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.
That was good. That was
Are good. We on point? Or okay, good.
No, that was great. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. This was good stuff. I was, you know, most of the time I'm not really paying attention to when the guest is talking. I just got my questions here, and then I'm like checking emails, playing solitaire, whatever. I was really engaged in this one. This is great.
Oh, geez, there goes my ego again.